Welcome to Impact Ministries World Changer Weekend 2014. This is session number 5, and your speakers are Bob and Audrey Meisner.
That's good. Y'all doing well this morning? I was in the back of the room just trying to get my mouth moving, you know, start getting some words out so that I wouldn't stutter and stammer all over the place this morning. But as the this theme unfolds this weekend, the most important things, I'm continually asking myself, what are these most important things? And I just this morning said, Holy Spirit, you know what? What when I get up there would you have me to say? I mean, we got a plan. No problem there. But immediately he said, generosity. And so here's how we're going to start this morning. Because God is a generous God. I believe that one of the most important things in your life is to be a person of generosity. Look for the opportunity and be eager in heart to give. All right? So here's what I want you to do. I want you to find somebody around you and give them something. I'm serious. Whether that be a $100 bill, $50 bill, $5 bill, I don't know. What if it's a word of encouragement? What if it's a handshake, a smile, a hug, something? Just ask God, what can I give somebody right now to love on them? Front row, that includes you. Just say, hey, I'm glad you're here this morning. Look for opportunities to give. All right. That's good. I saw Jimmy Bratcher do that, and then he said, can I have that back? All right. Well, Audrey and I are really, really pleased to be with you this weekend. We really are. I just love Impact Ministries, everything they're a part of, you know, but here we are, the elite among the elite, if I might call you that, all right? You're God's Navy SEALs, and we're going to go out there, and we're going to go love this world.
And I just was thinking this morning about how, here you get this one going. I was thinking this morning when Dr. Jim was up here talking about the 70s. I love the 70s, okay? I'm just going to lay it out there. I know some of you are way younger than that. But when he said Oral Roberts, I went, oh, like immediately, something good is about to happen.
Something good is about to happen to you.
And I thought, why not milk that today and open up with that? Like, something good is going to happen to you. And then I thought back of when Bob and I were in Dallas, Texas, and this incredible speaker, I won't name his name because I'm going to tell a little bit of a story on him, but he wanted to open up the leadership conference there with 2,000 people in Dallas, and he wanted something good to happen. So he had a good opening statement. And he said, praise God, I've got hope in my soul tonight. But he got a little mixed up. And he said, praise God, I've got soap in my hole tonight.
And the band kicks in and starts playing the song, Tiny Bubbles.
But seriously, something good is going to happen today.
It's going to happen.
You are here by divine appointment. You are here with anticipation in your heart. You don't come to a World Changers weekend unless you're ready for some world changing.
Right.
And the world changing starts right here in your heart. Right. And I know that God wants to give you the desires of your heart.
Yes.
So I want that anticipation to rise.
Yes.
That this is very personal for you.
Yes.
So maybe just put your hand on your heart.
Yes.
And let's just begin and just invite.
Thank you, Holy Spirit
is here, but let's acknowledge him and say, thank you, Holy Spirit, that you care about me and my influence in this world.
Yeah.
You've called me to be a world changer. So, Father, invade my heart.
Yes, yes.
Capture me that I might invade the world for you. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. You know, the covenant that God made through Christ, he came and he said, all I have and all I am is yours. That's what he said. Mm-hmm. And this morning, we simply respond and we say, Father, all I have and all I am is yours. So it's good. Well, Audrey and I like summer because summertime, everyone celebrates anniversary. Isn't that right? And so on June 2nd, Audrey and I, we celebrated our 30th year anniversary.
That's right.
You know, everyone's going.
And we still kiss.
I can hear y'all. Really? Like, you guys look too young for that.
We do not, Bob. That's an old joke, because honestly, we actually are getting old. But we still kiss. But we have one up on Dr. Jim Richards. We still French kiss. Just saying. Should have titled the book a little different.
Really?
I was wearing a French.
And you're proud of that one,
yeah, there's
you?
Our French brother right there. He knows all about kissing in French, I'm sure.
Okay. We do a daily television program, My New Day, and you can find that at the website, www.mynewday.tv. And if you're unfamiliar with it, we do a three-program mini-series, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Every Thursday is Live Transformed with Dr. Jim Richards. And then every Friday is Fight for Your Family Friday with Audrey and myself. Yeah. And Audrey's parents founded that ministry back in 1976. And, you know, that was, you know, kind of the huge, you know, coming out of the charismatic Jesus movement era. Yes. And, you know, these huge ministries develop. But what we immediately began to discover is that we cannot afford, you know, not just financially, but you can't afford kingdom-wise to be independent. We have to be interdependent. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I tell you, I am better, you know, having you in my life, mm-hmm. you know, having relationship, you know, with one another. Yes. And so it's been an absolute joy having Jim, you know, just a big part of our life. He's my big brother. And he has just been a tremendous gift to us.
It's true. It's such an honor to be up here today with all of you world changers. We're world changers, but I would venture to say that besides, other than my family, Bob, my kids, my parents, there's no single person that has influenced my life more than Dr. Jim Richards. Because as we've known him for over 20 years and just really grown together, but his influence in our life, he's really been a mentor to us, and we cherish that and don't take it for granted. And that's why we want to give that to our TV audience, our New Day family, by every Thursday bringing Dr. Jim Richards on the show.
Good. Well, this weekend is an important weekend because we're going to begin to discover some of the most important things, you know, in your life.
Right.
And I find that, you know, you begin to discover what is most important to you really only when there's a threat of it being taken away from you. You know, all of a sudden, there's a lot of things that we can take for granted from one another. There's things that we can, you know, just kind of expect, you know. And what happens in relationships is that we just stop noticing, you know, and we just kind of take one another for granted. Sometimes we can take our health for granted, you know, whatever it might be. But all of a sudden, when there's a threat of something being taken away from you, all of a sudden you recognize, you know what, that's really important to me.
Yeah.
You see, that's worth fighting for. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not something I'm willing to negotiate. You know, and I think there needs to be more in a believer's heart and life are some of these non-negotiables. Yeah. You know, these are the things I've already predetermined. You know, these are the things that I've already settled in my heart, and that's the way it's going to be, because that would help you make decisions in the future rather than being tossed to and fro. Mm-hmm. Well, for us, you know, what was most important, what was most attractive to each of us when we were married back in 1984 was this, is that we wanted to be world changers.
Yeah.
You know, we loved God so much, and we just really wanted our lives to count. And I found that sexy. I did, you know, because yeah, and so did you. And but the whole thing was is that we wanted, and we knew that we could be better together than we were apart. Well, that was threatened 17 years into our marriage, where one day Audrey came to me and told me about an affair that she had been a part of. Now, many of you know who we are, and you know our story, so we're not going to dwell on that this morning. But you see, that was a threat against us, not just against us, but against my generations, against the legacy. You see, this isn't just about you. This is about your generations. You see, and your generations need to be very important to you because they're worth fighting for. And so after 17 years, I found out, you know, what was happening. And right away, we had godly people that came around us and gave us not sympathy, but gave us truth. You see, sympathy never healed anyone. But I needed to know the truth of God. Last night, we spoke so much about John chapter 1. Yes. I needed to embrace the truth of God that I might discover His grace. Yes. People want to experience God's grace, but they want to ignore truth. But we need His truth. Yes. And so it was a deep, difficult season for us. Mm-hmm. And we found out 2 weeks later that as a result of the affair, Audrey had become pregnant. And so all of these emotions and what I would classify complications came into our lives. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what do we do? Yeah. I remember one morning, you know, because I had so many people coming to me saying, you know, Bob, you're doing great, but, you know, you don't need to keep this baby. You can give this baby up for adoption.
Right, right.
And I remember one morning, you know, with my pastor, and I said, like, I mean, I was in turmoil. We're talking months, you know, 6-7 months into the pregnancy. And the question was, you know, what do I do? And he said so clearly to me, he says, Bob, there's a baby on your doorstep. What do you do? Will you participate in this fatherless generation, or will you become a father to the fatherless? It's time to grow up. Well, yeah, that's all easy, you know. But I'm going through this, man, I had tears. I was a mess. But the whole thing was, is that I allowed my, I needed time away from you. But, you know, I needed time to allow God to speak His truth into my heart and life. Because there's only one way that you're able to be a father to your children is when you allow your father to be a father to you. You can't give anything that you haven't first received from Him. He had to father me. So with that, I can say, when my son was born, I gave him my name, Robert. His middle name is Theodore, which means divine gift, because he's not an accident nor a mistake. You see, he's born out of the heart of God, just like my other three children, and entrusted to us. We're a family, and we belong with each other. You see, that's what God does. And these are some of the most important things in our lives.
Because when and I mean, you can ask yourself this question, too, when you come to a conference titled The Most Important Things, and then take that a little further, you're asked to speak. It challenges Bob and I. We're saying, what is the most important thing? We could take that in so many different directions. And
well,
yet,
you know, we could very easily just say Jesus and sit down.
Yeah.
You know? But here's the question is, how then does Jesus, the gospel, the truth, the love of God, apply to our hearts and lives?
And I'll never forget a couple years ago on the program when Dr. Jim said, you know, I never leave the house, and you've probably heard this, without experiencing God's love. Because I know that if I have not experienced God's love that day, I won't be able to love the world. I won't be loved that person that I meet. I won't be able to love. I have to receive that love. And it's not a one-time deal. It's every day. It's experiencing. It's not just knowing in your head. It's knowing. So what does that mean to experience God's love? And that's really what we felt was the most important thing, because in our pain, we had to experience God's love like we never had before. When we were married 17 years, we'd both been Jesus people all our life. We had experienced God's love. But pain will force you to experience His love in a deeper way than you ever have before. Pain has interesting effects on your life. Pain drove us to fear in some ways because...
Okay. Well, it can drive you either way.
It can drive you either way. But with pain, if you've experienced pain, you have... By the way, okay, you have experienced pain, right? There are things that have been done to you and said to you that never should have happened. You've experienced pain. So will you allow that pain to bring you to that place of experiencing God like you never have before? You know, I know that we talked about this last night, but for me, the fear was, 2 years after Robert was born, the fear was, we'll never be happy again because I know Bob's doing all the right stuff, but he doesn't love, he doesn't trust me. We don't have that same laughter and dreams that we used to invade our house. That was just lost. And I remember Bob would come in and he just felt depressed and it was all my fault. So how do you experience God when you've made a huge mistake? You're full of regret. It's all your fault and life isn't going well just because of you and my selfishness and my stupidity. What do you do then? How do you experience God's love? And that fear drove me to perform. And I performed for Bob because I felt like maybe, just maybe, if I was just perfect enough or good enough or sweet enough or cleaned the house good enough or just anything, maybe Bob would one day love me like he did before.
And John, 1 John, it says, God is love and perfect love expels and removes all fear. What we found out is that, you know, we were so in love with each other. We wanted to be world changers with each other, you know, all this type of thing. But, you know, what brought us to this, you know, crisis in our life? And a crisis is where you have new information, but it's accompanied with a whole lot of new emotion. Mm-hmm. And that emotion has the ability to drive you one way or another. And this was a crisis, you know, in our lives, but in God, he says, I'll take that and I will fashion and create benefit from it that you would not get any other way. Wow. And I will catapult, I will propel your life forward. You see, that's what God does. Yeah. And so for us, we really didn't know how this was going to happen because the soil of our lives was in fear. And what we needed was a transplant. Yes. You see, everything that we had that brought us, you know, to this place of 17 years, we began was insufficient to take us to where we needed to be. And too many people want to get back to the sweet by and by, but the whole thing is the sweet by and by brought us to this place. And so this is not where we want to go, and we don't want to go back there. Right. Therefore, I need a heart transformation.
Yes.
You see, and fear will cause you to perform, and my fear caused me to punish. You see, because I needed to control the situation because I don't want this to ever happen again.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so anytime that she would get a little bit happy, a little bit free, I'd come over the top and I'd suppress that. Why? Because I needed control because I couldn't trust her. Mm-hmm. And so this is what we would call our fear dance. You see, she wanted to perform to make me happy. You know, I'm safe. You know, you can trust me. You know, let's get happy together.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I don't want to get all happy with you because if you do, heaven knows what's going to happen.
Right.
You know, you might tell more dirty jokes. I don't know. But, yeah, and some of them aren't funny. And but you see, and you want to control the other person. Mm-hmm. And this was a fear dance that we had.
And we feel like shouting it from the housetops, perfect love expels all fear. We wanted to get transplanted from a place of fear that had driven our marriage that we were clueless about. We were in the soil of fear, and it was driving my performance for our whole marriage, driving this whole fear dance. Mm-hmm. And we needed to get transplanted into the soil of God's love. Ephesians 3 talks about the soil of God's love, that my God, Jesus, may you have your home in my heart, and may my love be rooted deep into the soil of God's love, be founded on this unconditional, perfect love, because love never fails. Back to the story, the performance drove me to do anything possible to perform enough that Bob would love me, but I came to the point of desperation when I had tried everything and I was exhausted and I was overwhelmed. How many know it's a really good thing to get to the end? I was so done, I was so exhausted. I fell to my knees and I said, God, I thought maybe one day we'd be happy again, but obviously I can't do it anymore. And then Jesus just so gently spoke into my heart and said, changing Bob is not your job. I'm going to say it again. Changing your people around you is not your job. I was taking on a responsibility that was not meant for me to carry, and it was driven by fear.
See, because fear will control. Ladies got perfect intention, though, right? Isn't that right, ladies? Here's why. Because when God made man, he said it was good. When God made woman, he said it was very good. Therefore, ladies, you have an inherent characteristic to take what is good and make it very good. You see? But us guys, we don't like being your project.
This love thing is everything. This love thing is everything because all of that desire, that is a gift that us as girls want to take our kids, want to take our ministry, want to take everything that's good and make it very good. I wake up in the morning with invisible lists of how I could do that. And yet this
They become verbal real quick.
Yeah. But this is a gift if it's rooted in love. Listen, listen to this.
Yes.
This is a gift if it's rooted in love. But as soon as it's rooted in fear, I will control the process.
You will.
I will control my kids. I will control my ministry. I will sabotage by taking over.
But and then the other thing is even good things. You
really
know, you want to control the process of getting the good things to your life, of trying to, you know, I'm going to be super Christian. You know, and so the whole thing is that you're trying to control that as well. And you're missing the abiding presence and the soil of God's love, you know, in your heart and life.
With no fear. There's nothing like living life with no fear, knowing that God's love is real.
So when did that change for you, my dear?
Well, that moment the Lord just finally just literally captured my heart and said, "No, you don't have to change him." So then I experienced God's love in that moment.
Because your question, though, was to me, you know, how do I
change Bob?
You know, live.
Oh, with a depressed man.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes.
Well, my question in my journal that next day was, thank you for that, Bob.
You're welcome. Not that I'm trying to control anything.
I feel no control. I feel only love. Mm-hmm. Only love. Only love.
But that clock is still ticking.
Because how do I live with a depressed man? How do I live life when things aren't working and I can't control anyone around you? And the Lord just so beautifully steps into your heart when you answer those questions. Because you're asking questions like that.
Mm-hmm.
My kids, my money, my health, the things you can't control. And the Lord says, let me heal your broken heart.
Right.
And it was 2 years later that I found myself in another God. No, it was 6 months later. I found myself in a God moment where a couple was praying for me. And they just randomly, they asked Holy Spirit, they said, how can we pray for Audrey? They didn't know our story. And when they, I was going to say they lay hands on me, but because I'm with World Changers, I can say they muscle tested me. And I can never
go
say
to
that
jail,
out loud.
Directly to jail. Do not pass go.
They tested me and said, you know, they tested my emotions and my emotions are attached to organs in your body. You know that. And in my lungs, they said grief has entered into your lungs and it is stuck in there. You have acute grief, which means you're not just a sad person. No. You've experienced a loss or a death blow or something so extreme in your life that you have literally opened yourself up and grief has made its home in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
They said, do you want to go free? And I said, oh, yeah. Always say yes.
To freedom.
To freedom. But they had to check my belief system first. And they said, they muscle tested me. So I couldn't cheat. Do you believe it's a good thing for you to forgive yourself? I said, yes. They said, do you believe it's good for Bob to forgive yourself?
Mm-hmm.
I said, yes. But then they came many questions. They came to this last one. Audrey, do you believe that you deserve to forgive yourself for that awful betrayal? No, I do not deserve to forgive myself. I knew better. I never should have done that. In fact, if I could take the Audrey that did that and put her here, I would have to tell you that I hate her. I hate what she did. I hate what she did to Bob, to my parents, to my children, who I love so much, to cause that kind of pain. I hate her. And they simply said this, Audrey, Jesus loves that Audrey. That's the extravagant love of our God. That's the unconditional, unfailing love of our Jesus that loves that Audrey. In fact, because Jesus lives in your heart, you don't get what you deserve, you get what he deserves. Will you agree with how God feels about you? And will you say, I deserve to forgive myself? And by faith, I said, okay, I believe I deserve to forgive myself. And they said, now we're ready. And I began to get in touch with that grief. They didn't ask me just to pray a prayer. They said, now we need to get in touch with the buried pain that is locked inside of you. I had to feel the pain because then Jesus took me out of that from the chains of fear, opened the prison doors. And as I was in touch with that grief and began to feel the feelings and let it out for the first time, he began to walk with me through those prison doors to a place that was spacious with freedom, like a calf released from the stall. And I was free. And I closed my eyes and I said, Jesus, and I felt Jesus, this picture in my head, heart of me clothed in the most beautiful white, glistening, pure, twinkling, precious robe of righteousness. And Jesus said, will you agree with how I see you? And I said, yes. And I was free. I experienced God's love in my place of regret, in my place of shame, and that shame was gone in a moment.
Yeah. It was a powerful evening. It was so beautiful for everyone but me. Because Don then said to me, he says, Bob, can we pray for you? I said, sure. He laid his hands on me and he says, He says, I sense you have issues of unforgiveness. And I'm like, no. Really? I mean, come on. And he says, you're not ready to receive, are you? And I said, no. Because on the inside, I was saying, that's not fair. You know, how come she's the one that has an affair? She's impregnated by another man. I'm the one that's been keeping our family together. I'm the one that's been doing everything right. And now she has a God moment and she gets to go free? That's not fair. Well, the gospel isn't fair. It's free. It's free. The next evening, again, we got together and I said, let's pray. I was ready. That whole previous day, it was a nightmare. Why would I be in such a place where I could not receive from God? You see, there's nothing that God would ask. There's nothing that God is asking of you to remove from you for his benefit. He's just trying to get his benefit to you. And his love and his mercy and his grace. He's trying to get it to you. And we're like, no, I can do this. Well, that next evening, again, he challenged my belief system. And I then, in the place of prayer, just began to revisit every vain imagination, every thought, every image that I had created of what took place in that affair. I had forgiven her from the very first moment. But, you know, I was managing my anger, if you understand. I mean, I was good at it. It was suppressed really well. But my body was becoming sick. I had pains, in my gallbladder. I mean, I was physically being affected by this pain buried alive. And that night, I just again revisited every image that I had created because I hadn't seen anything, but I sure did interrogate her. I sure did get the details, and I've got an imagination that created those images. And my mind doesn't know the difference. It says it's as though real. You were there. You saw it. And every time that I did, I would always stand and point my finger in judgment. How can you do this to me? But that night, as I stood there, I revisited those images in my mind. And I forgave. And I forgave again and again. I wept and wept and wept 20 minutes. After 20 minutes, I looked and I said, Don, can we be done now? I mean, I didn't have another tear left in me. He laid his hands on me and he said, because when you don't know what to do, this is what you do every single time. Are you ready? Two words, ask God. Pretty simple. He says, Holy Spirit, what is it? And he says, no, Bob, there's something else. I'm like, great. You know, that's preacher talk, meaning you're too broken, you'll never be whole. You know what I mean? We'll get you about 80%, but the other 20, you got to live with yourself. That's the way I felt. And I stood there and I said, Holy Spirit, I don't know what there is. Show me. Show me. And immediately the image came back to my mind that I had created of the moment she became pregnant. I didn't like that one and I didn't visit it too often. Because I'd always stand in judgment and say, how can you do this to me? How can you give yourself like this? You call yourself a Jesus girl. You know, and it just went on and on. And the Lord behind me whispered in my ear. And he says, Bob, will you allow my love to be made complete in you. Will you go to her and rescue her? In my mind's eye, I stepped into that picture and I picked her up from that awful place. And I took her back and I wrapped my arms around her. I opened my eyes and we were free. We were free. I needed God's realities to be mine, you see. I needed his love to be made complete in me. And that's what happened. You know, that's redemptive love. You see, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. He involved himself with the consequences of our choices, and he says, I'll make a way out for you. He takes that which is incompatible and makes it compatible. When his love becomes complete in us, it removes, it eradicates all judgment from our heart. Mm-hmm. And we're willing to involve ourselves in one another's consequences of choice. And says, I'm going to love you. I'm going to hold you. I'm not going to give up on you. We're not going to just evacuate and avoid the process, but rather we're going to go through. To know his love, to experience his love, allowing his realities truly becoming ours, that's some of the most important things. Yeah. And my marriage is not worth giving up on. Right. Not only just for us, but for my children. This weekend, we were recently in just Washington, D.C., and Robert, my son, my youngest, he's now 12. He doesn't always get to travel with us, but he was there. And it was a large congregation, and Robert came up, and I said, this is my son, and they clapped, and it was great. We, you know, then brought the meeting to a close, and I said, Robert, do you have anything to share? Normally, he says, no, and it's all cute, but he took that microphone.
For the first time. Yeah, he did.
He said, I'm so glad you stayed married. That place erupted. Right. All right? Your generations need you to experience and to know the extravagance of God's love on a daily basis.
And as you can see, experiencing God's love, as you know, changes everything. It changes your relationship. You see, because I know that many of you are sitting here and you're thinking, man, my story didn't end that way.
Right.
You know, the divorce happened, the abortion happened, the whatever it was in your pain, that happened. But I'm saying, will you allow God to love you? Because our Redeemer lives, no matter what choices you've made up to this point. No matter what choices you have made up to this point, I'm saying today, on this day, in July 2014, your Redeemer lives, and he loves you. And may you experience his love today, because something good is about to happen to you.
Yeah.
And for some of you, this moment, you're going to forgive yourself for the first time.
Yeah.
And I want to pray for you right now. Just everyone close your eyes, lift your hands, receive. And just say, thank you, Jesus,
thank you,
that you have declared,
you.
I am forgiven for those mistakes, my failures, my regrets. I have held this against myself for way too long, and I've messed everything up. But today is my day where I am going to agree with how you feel about me. And I'm going to see your smile. And I'm going to receive it. I'm going to receive your love and your embrace. Hold me.
Yes.
Love me in my pain.
Yes.
So that I can walk out of the prison that has kept me captive.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm free. Thank you for loving me so much, Jesus. Oh, thank you for loving me so much. I'll tell you, she who's been forgiven much loves much. Today we are declaring you're free.
Good. All right, let's close the way we began. And let's give something to somebody next to you. Whether they need a hug or something like that.
I think sometimes you need to be just held. Like, let's just stand together. Find someone and just hold somebody. Forget hugging. When you have a God moment, you just gotta hold somebody.